We want to consider this morning what the Bible says about the sons and the children of Rechab, the sons and the children of Rechab, and we find about them in Jeremiah chapter 35, Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35, and reading from verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons, forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers or sojourners. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up unto the land, that we said, Come, and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwelt at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed for unto this day. They drink none, but they obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now, every man, from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me, because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, But this people have not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandments, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he have commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever, or shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. In this chapter of Jeremiah 35, we see that the Lord holds up the sons of Rechab, obedience to Jonadab, the son of Rechab's command, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers, as an example of obedience to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, who would not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed for unto this day. They drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. And because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want or lack a man to stand before me forever. In these verses in Jeremiah we see that the Lord rewards the children of Rechab because of their obedience to Jonadab with the blessing that the sons of Rechab would stand before the Lord forever. Whereas because of their disobedience of not hearkening unto the word of the Lord by his prophets, Jerusalem would be destroyed and most of its inhabitants would be carried off as slaves to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And in these examples of behavior by the sons of Rechab and Judah and Jerusalem, we see that obedience to the word of God results in blessing and reward, and that disobedience to the word of God results in judgment and loss. And if we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and again reading from verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart ye, get out down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuge, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and have not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, have I obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he have also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord have rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbour of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honour me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people, and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. In these verses, in 1 Samuel 15, we see that the Lord commands King Saul to go and smite Amalek, and to utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And in verse 9, we saw Saul's disobedience to God's word, in that Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. And here we see that Saul and the people spared Agag and all the best of the livestock for themselves in disobedience to God's command to destroy them all. And in verse 14, when Samuel challenges Saul about his disobedience by saying, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Then in verse 15, Saul answers with the excuse that the people brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. But Samuel sees clear through this lame excuse and answers Saul in verse 22 with, have the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And here we see that King Saul and the people did what they thought was right to do in sparing, that is, saving Agag and all the best of the livestock, when the Lord had commanded them to destroy them all. And because of this disobedience, God took the kingship from Saul and his lineage and gave it to David and his lineage. And King Saul, along with Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons, along with many of the people of Israel, were killed in a battle against the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 31. And again we see that disobedience to the word of God results in great loss to Saul and the people. As Samuel warns us that, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And then the Apostle Paul, writing to the Roman believers and to us believers today in Romans 14 and 10, states that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God, or God's fellow workers. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And in these verses, we see that as believers, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and our work will be tried as by fire. And if our work is of gold, silver, and precious stones, then our work will abide the fire, and we shall receive our reward. But if our work is of wood, hay, and stubble, then our work will be burned up in the fire, and we will lose our reward and suffer loss. Saved by the grace of God, but having a loss of reward. And so we can see that if we are obedient to the exhortation to make our work to be gold, silver, precious stones, we will receive our reward from the Lord. But if we are disobedient and our work is wood, hay, and stubble, then our work is burned up in the fire and we will suffer loss. Obedience is the key to please the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 5, where Jeremiah states that I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, "Drink ye wine." But they said, "We will drink no wine, for Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days shall ye dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land, where ye be strangers or sojourners." Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he have charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. In these verses we see that when Jeremiah sets pots of wine before the sons of Rechab to test them, to tempt them to drink, but they refuse and say that they have obeyed Jonadab, their father's command, not to drink wine, nor to build houses, nor to have vineyards, nor to buy fields or seed, that they dwell in tents and have obeyed all that Jonadab, their father, commanded them. Then in verse 14, the Lord states that the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed for unto this day. They drink none, but they obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me." In this verse 14, the Lord commands, the sons of Rechab in their obeying Jonadab in relation to his command not to drink wine. He commands them in their obedience not to drink wine. And notice that it is their obedience to the command not to drink wine, which the Lord highlights here. The Lord does not mention their obedience to Jonadab's command not to build houses, buy fields, buy vineyards, plant seeds, and to dwell in tents, of which they obeyed. So why does the Lord highlight their obedience? That is, the children of Rechab's obedience to Jonadab's command not to drink wine. Well, wine in the Bible can mean the grapevine, grapes, raisins, fresh grape juice, and fermented grape juice. But the word for wine in the verse is, defined in Strong's as Y-A-Y-I-N, pronounced Yayin. For an unused root means effervescence, wine as fermented by implication, intoxication, banqueting wine, wine bibber. So here we see that fermented wine contains alcohol, and that the Lord commands the sons of Rechab for not drinking it. According to the government statistics, more than 1.4 million people in the UK are dependent on alcohol. And in the UK, 33,000 people die each year due to alcohol-related incidents or associated health problems. And worldwide, over 76 million people are currently affected by alcohol use disorders such as alcohol dependence and abuse. Then think of all the ensuing problems of ruined lives, ruined livers, ill health, broken marriages, broken homes, poverty, children taken into care, and all the maladies caused by alcohol abuse. But you may say that I can take a social drink and drink socially without danger of becoming an alcoholic. Well, that may be so, but one fact is certain, and that is if the 76 million alcoholics worldwide today had not taken their very first drink, that they would not then be alcoholics today. And not to have suffered all the debilitating circumstances of their wrong choice that it has ensued. Before the Lord saved me, I considered myself a social drinker. And I believe this because from Sunday to Friday, I refrained from drinking any alcohol, any alcoholic beverage. But after work ended on a Friday night, I loved to get out to the pub. And I was not interested in getting a carry out and drinking at home. But I had to get out to the pub on a Friday night, and then all day Saturday. And often I would drink until I was intoxicated. Not always falling down drunk, but intoxicated nonetheless. And I looked up the definition of this word intoxication, which reads drunkenness, inebriation, insobriety, tipsiness, stupefaction, tightness, inebriety, cropulence, and the conditions of having physical or mental control markedly diminished by the effects of alcohol, a state in which a person's normal capacity to act or reason is inhibited by alcohol or drugs, or to put it in layman's terms, they're blocked, smashed, elephant's trunk, out of their tree, paralytic, intoxicated. Look at the middle word of intoxicated, which is toxic. And the definition of toxic is continuing or being poisonous material capable of causing serious injury or death. And so we see that alcohol is toxic and poisonous, and over time is well proven that it is capable of causing serious injury or death. Well, when the Lord saved me, the Lord also saved me from the desire to drink alcohol. And not long after I was saved, a work colleague was leaving work. An alcoholic drink was brought in, and there was a leaving due for him, where another colleague encouraged me to drink a can of beer, saying that one drink would do me no harm. But I knew that if I was to drink one can of beer, that this would lead to another, and then maybe another, to eventually I would be intoxicated again. And then this colleague and the others would be saying, "Ha, some Christian he is. He was full and back on the drink." So it makes me wonder about believers today who say that it is all right for a Christian to have a social drink and to drink sociably. And they justify themselves by saying, "The Lord turned the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana." Yes, the Lord did turn the water into wine, but ask yourself, would the Lord give fermented wine to you, which is toxic alcoholic wine to drink, which could cause you to become an alcoholic? Or would he give you fresh, healthy grape juice? And the governor of the wedding feast of Canaan stated that the water which had the Lord had made wine was good wine. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." John chapter 2, 9 and 10. And the Lord asks the question, "What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Then does the Lord give us good wine or toxic wine? Then the believers today, they also cite to justify themselves indulging in social drinking Paul's exhortation to Timothy, and say, "Take a little wine for your stomach's sake." But they misquote it, because the verse says, "Use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your oft-time infirmities. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your oft-time infirmities." Where the verse used reads, "Use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thy oft-time infirmities, commenting on this verse, Derek Bingham said, "Some boys must have awful bad stomachs." Then Timothy, as it would seem, suffered from some sort of stomach malady. And he was drinking water. And the water in them days is not cool, clear water like we get today. It could be looked like the colour of brown lemonade. So he was to mingle it with fresh juice to help his stomach. So would Apostle Paul encourage Timothy to drink fermented, toxic, alcoholic wine or fresh, healthy grape juice to help his stomach? Leviticus 10 and 9 commands that do not drink wine nor strong drink. Leviticus 10 and 9, do not drink wine nor strong drink. Judges 13 and 4. And drink not wine nor strong drink. Judges 13 and 7. Now drink no wine or strong drink. 1 Samuel 1 and 14. Put away thy wine from thee. 1 Samuel 1 and 15. Drink neither wine nor strong drink. Proverbs 20 and 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 23 and 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it is given his colour, or sparkleth in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. 32. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. In these two verses in Proverbs we see the new wine fermenting, and when it giveth his colour, or sparkleth in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, it's fermenting. And then if you drink this wine, then it will bite you like a serpent and sting you or poison you like an otter. And wine is a mocker, and strong drink is a raging. And whosoever drinks and is deceived by thereby is not wise. If you drink alcoholic wine or any strong drink, you are deceived and you are not wise. So be obedient like the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, and drink no alcoholic wine nor strong drink. And would you commit the meeting to the Lord in prayer, Bert?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gate of thy word, for our own personal health, our health and well-being, spiritually and physically, Lord. I'm just reading there, Raw mentioned there, getting the like 10 days out of the Bible, because of the influence of wine, offered strange fire unto the Lord, and died in judgment. Wine is a mocker, and we all know that here. But thank you, praise thy name, Lord, indeed, that thou commandest obedience to thy word rather than sacrifice. Lord, that magnify thy word above all thy name. Our brother James tells us in Scriptures to be, dear is the word, not hearers only. That was Saul's problem, and many other people's problems too. We thank you for our brother Sam's ministry this morning, to the authority of it, Lord. All right, looked into these things, and we've been blessed with us. Yeah. And we thank you for it. Yes. My prayer for you this morning is that some young Christians listening to the internet here will listen carefully from the advice received from thy word and from a brother's own testimony concerning wine, drink, alcohol, social drinking.
Amen.
Because we've all experienced it down here. And that's one of the catches up stings. We pray, Lord, you know, this thy word to all of our hearts and the young people listening, Lord, tonight, this meeting, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, indeed, for may all give heed to thy word, that they will be blessed indeed. Thy word is truth. Undertake with our order of homeward journeys, and thank you, Lord, for meeting this morning at the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
Remember my precious favor, our Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving our brother Sam the liberty to bring forth thy word and spirit and the truth this morning.
Amen.
And we thank the Lord indeed. It is a challenge to all who think they can manage without the Lord Jesus Christ and without the power of God in their lives. Nobody can control drink alcohol. Eventually, alcohol will control the consumer. It's just a simple thing. And God knows what's best for us because he created us. And the Lord Jesus Christ made good wine, yes, but it certainly wasn't alcoholic. And we thank and praise thy name for that, Lord.
Yes.
We thank the Lord indeed for the exposition of thy word and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, precious, blessed, wonder, name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.